I'm going to piggyback on Krista's Easter announcement and encourage you and challenge you to be praying about who you would invite to come to church on Easter weekend. Statistics show us that people who don't go to church would greatly consider it and come if they were invited by a friend or someone that they knew. And so as we do, as we are a Spirit-led people, pray about that. Just pray, God, put into my heart and open up the door for me to invite someone to church that doesn't come to church. And then we hope that you invite them and bring them and join us on that Easter weekend. And Krista gave you many different ways. I just want to thank you in advance. This is obviously probably one of the most full services. And on that weekend, we do expect a lot of guests. So thank you in advance for those of you who will take your kids on Saturday night or visit our Steel Valley campus. Pastor Trey, again, will be preaching there in person, and I just love his preaching and enjoyed his ministry last weekend, and so thank you for your flexibility on that. One other public service announcement, if I could, it's in regards to the well, and just been really thrilled to see the community and conversation that the well is providing. And again, we want that experience to be here on the weekend for you on Sunday when we have church, but our vision for that was much larger than that. We wanted it to be a place, and we're seeing it a place, where people throughout the community are coming in during the week. Those who know nothing about ACAC and some who don't want anything to do with ACAC, but they want to come in and get a cup of coffee, and we welcome that. And so we're trying to expand those hours more and more. But there's one thing that I do want to bring to your attention, and that is our Pay It Forward board. Thank you for those of you that have been paying it forward, and it is a cashless system. And so again, if you ever forget your wallet or for whatever reason need to take advantages of one of those magnets, please do so. However, I will let you know that our young kids and students have discovered the Pay It Forward board. So, parents, I'm asking for your help, because the purpose of the Pay It Forward board was not for our kids to get free drinks, but for those who need it. And so, parents, if you would just help us with that, we'd greatly appreciate it. Speaking of parenting, Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." As we conclude this series on Proverbs today, we are going to talk about raising kids. We're going to talk about our responsibility and the great joy and reward we have in raising children. And as we talk about parenting and raising kids, I first want to recognize that we have diverse family dynamics represented today. There are parents in this room, as we've seen some at the beginning of the service with child dedications, that are just starting on this journey. And the greatest challenge they have right now is sleep deprivation. There are some parents here today, though you have middle school and high school kids, and we are going to have an extended prayer time for you because those are challenging years. We have some parents that your kids, like my wife and I, they're in their 20s, they're adults, and they're figuring life out on their own, and that brings challenges. Some of you, you have children older than that. We have grandparents in the room today, and you are helping your kids raise kids. We have single parents in the room today, and you are like my heroes. I don't know how you do it, but you're figuring out, and you're raising a home, and you're doing it all by yourself. We have couples here today that would love nothing more than to have children, but for whatever reason, God hasn't answered those prayers yet. We have parents in the room today that have tragically outlived their children. We have those that are single today. We have probably college students here today, and the furthest thing from your mind is raising kids. But regardless of where you are in that, all of us should recognize, and hopefully we recognize, the importance of reaching the next generation, right? We want the next generation to follow Jesus with all of their heart. And all of us, again, no matter where you are, whether you have kids or not, all of us have a part to play in accomplishing that mission. This week, I discovered a story. It's a true story. It happened in Portland, Oregon in January of 2021, just a couple years ago, a few years ago. And there was a mother who needed some milk, and her four-year-old was in the car seat in the back of the car, and she went to the convenience store, and knowing that it was just going to be a few moments, she left the car running, she left her child in the car, and she ran in to get a gallon of milk. Well, unbeknownst to her, her car was going to be stolen while she was inside. And so this thief comes, hops in the car, and takes the car, gets about a mile down the road, and then realizes that there's a four-year-old in the back seat. And like every good thief does, he returns to the scene of the crime. And this true story, he takes the four-year-old out, goes into the store, finds the mom, and then continues to lecture her on good parenting. Gives her her child, goes back into the car, and steals it. Now, I have never left my kids in a running car and gone in. You should not do that. But I will admit, when my son was around 6 or 7 years old, I did not lose him. I just misplaced him for a few moments. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm sure I'm not the only one in the room. I was in a store, it's probably a sports store or something like that. And, you know, I'm looking, and I'm shopping around, and the next thing you know, I look around, and, like, Caden's gone. Have you ever had that happen? You know what I mean? Your like heart sinks. And so I'm looking all over the store. He's nowhere to be found. And now I'm panicking. So I know he's not in the store. So I go outside the store and then I see the saddest picture you will ever see. My son sitting up against a column with our car right there. And he's like, and just waiting. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And he comes and gives me a hug. And, you know, he's crying and I'm crying. I'm like, buddy, I'd never leave you. And it happens. And it's probably happened to you. Did you know that that happened to Mary and Joseph? In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, this is towards the end of the childhood story of Jesus. The Bible tells us Jesus is about 12 years old. And listen to this. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, I'm going to start at verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, they went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. Well, after the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. See, what would happen at that time is communities and families would all travel together, so there could be a lot of people. And so we find Mary and Joseph traveling with their community back to Nazareth after Jerusalem. And they just assumed that Jesus was somewhere among the group. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends, but they couldn't find him. They went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, like I read this and I was like, I feel pretty good. Jesus, I only lost Caden for like 20 minutes. Your mom and dad lost you for 3 days. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious leaders, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, and I have to think there was some tone in this comment. Why have you done this to us? Mary asked. Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. And then Jesus, again, you have to imagine this in a 12-year-old voice. Jesus responded, why did you need to search? He added, didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. We often forget that while Jesus was perfect, Jesus never sinned here on earth. He was the anointed Son of God. He also was fully human. And he was born and raised in a family that was completely human. And while Jesus himself was perfect and sinless, his mom and dad weren't. He was raised by imperfect parents. And every day, Jesus lived in the dynamics of an ordinary family life. Though he wasn't ordinary, his parents were, his family dynamics were. And like so many of our families, he experienced complicated dynamics, like his mom and dad losing him for 3 days. This is a human family, and Mary and Joseph are human parents, and they had lost their child in that story that we just read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Let me give you some statistics on parenting. 2018, there was a study done, a business performance innovation survey, and it told us that 88% of parents, they say that parenting today is harder than when they were children. And some of the top reasons that parenting may be harder today than it was generations ago is because of things like social media. Because both parents are often working. Activity overloads, things like AAU. Our schools aren't as safe as they were generations ago. And many of these issues and more have parents facing things that their parents didn't face a generation ago. 64% of parents are experiencing burnout. That means half of the parents in this room, or a little more than that, you're feeling burned out today. 90% of parents, almost all, feel judged. Feel judged by strangers, feel judged by other family members, sometimes feel judged by the other parent. And get this, 46% of moms and dads believe that their children's success or failure represents the job that they did or are doing as a parent. The bottom line, parenting is not easy. It's not for the weak. So parents, give yourselves a pat on the back. It's not easy. Some mom and dad are like, that's right, I made it here today. That's an accomplishment with my kids. Why is parenting so difficult? Why is it hard? Well, one of the main reasons I believe parenting is so challenging is because of the difference between reality and our expectations regarding parenting. Think about it for new parents. Again, we had families here today that were dedicating young children. Even on our staff, we've experienced this. Pastor Ashley and her husband Kamal, who's an elder, in the past few weeks, they had a newborn child. She's actually on maternity leave now. And those of you that have had children, you may think back to your first child that you have. And, you know, you can prepare in practical ways a lot. There's showers, and you get the diaper genies, and, you know, all the video cameras, and you prepare the nursery, and you've got everything ready. But nothing prepares you for that moment when they lock the child in the car, in the car seat, you get in and you drive home and you realize, wow, there's a big gap between reality and our expectations from parenting. And one of the things that don't help with this are social media. You know, we look at things like Instagram and Facebook and everybody. I mean, I do it. I post pictures of our family. And, you know, no one posts a picture of everybody fighting at the dinner table. Like, maybe we should do that to help the gap between reality. No, we post, you know, everybody pose and we're all smiling, but what we don't see is 30 seconds before we're fighting, trying to get our kids to take a picture. And so, you know, even thinking back to Thanksgiving last year, I think I shared with you before, my wife and I drove to Tulsa, Oklahoma to spend Thanksgiving with our family. We don't get to see them very often, so my mom and dad wanted to do a picture with all the grandkids, all their kids. There's like 17, 18 of us, and the pictures turned out awesome. I mean, the photographer did a great job, and everybody's wearing their, you know, we're matching clothing, color palette, and we're all smiling. And if you saw the picture, you would be like, oh, look at the Hannahs. Everybody's happy and beautiful. What you didn't see is 5 minutes before that picture, everybody's fighting. I'm hitting my brother in the head. Kids are crying. Like, we're cold. Why are you doing this? You know what I'm talking about? And so social media, we only see the glossed over, everybody's happy. And that just brings a gap between what's real and our expectations. I mean, imagine for a moment if there were cameras and social media back when Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. They're gonna show you a picture here. It would kind of be like this. This is Jesus. AI can do some amazing things, let me tell you. This is Jesus taking a selfie with Mary and Joseph and another guy. I don't even know who that is, but you know, you would see this and it would be like Mary and Joseph, hey, look, a beautiful day in Jerusalem. And you don't know that like for 3 days they're stressed out because Jesus is nowhere to be found. And that happens to us all the time. And it's frustrating, and it is because what is real and our expectations are very different. And the truth is that all parents wrestle with stress and anxiety. All parents struggle with fear, failure. All parents have regrets. All parents have disappointments. And the parents of the most perfect child ever to have walked this earth, Joseph and Mary, had the same emotions. And so today, mom and dad, be encouraged. know that you're not alone, that there are other parents in this room that are facing those same emotions, no matter what you see on social media, and that ultimately, and more importantly, God sees and he understands those emotions. And here's the amazing thing, that despite our imperfections as parents, despite our fears and disappointments and regrets, he trusts you enough. He trusts us as parents enough that he would give us his greatest creation, a child created in his image. However, we often forget, mom and dad, that we are not owners of our children. Our kids aren't ours. They're God's kids. We are ambassadors for God to our children, and he has entrusted them to us. Let me show you what I mean. Psalm 127, verse 3. Psalmist writes, children are a gift from who? The Lord. Our kids are a gift from the Lord. They're not really ours. They're God's on loan to us. They are a reward from him. Fast forward to the New Testament. Paul writes, children, obey your parents. And everybody said amen. Parents, obey your children, or obey your parents. And all the kids said amen. Good grief. My kids aren't going to let me live that one down. Children, obey your parents. Why? Because you belong to the Lord. So we have to get out of our mind as parents that there are kids and I get to raise them the way I want. Well, you do in a sense, but if we recognize that we are ambassadors for God and that our kids really belong to the Lord and they are on loan to us from God, then as ambassadors for God, our job is then to faithfully represent the message, the methods, and the heart of the one who has sent them to us. So for us as parents, we represent God's best interest in our kids, not our own. And man, we forget that. I forget that at times. So when we pray over our kids, when we have decisions with our kids, when we speak into our kids, our posture should be, God, these are your children that you have entrusted to me. I don't want to force my opinion on them. I want to discern what is your will. And would you help me discern that? Would you speak to them and help me and my wife to lead them in a way that they feel what you want for them, not what I want? And there's a difference. So understanding this, we look at our proverb today. Train up a child on the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I love the New Living Translation that says, direct your child on the right path. And when they are older, they will not leave it. Now, in case you've missed some of this series, we've talked about this. And parents often go to this verse, and it's an often misunderstood verse. Sometimes we read this as a guarantee or as a promise, meaning if you raise your kids in all of the right Christian ways, if you take them to Bible quizzing, take them to church every week, pray with them every night, and read the Bible to them every night, and send them to Christian school, that when they get older, they're going to follow Jesus. Locked, sealed, delivered, it's a guarantee. That is not the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is filled with principles, not promises. And so first and foremost, we have to look at this, and it is a general speaking principle that yes, we should raise our children to pray, to read God's word. We should take them to church. We should involve them in kids' ministry where they learn and to love Jesus, but it is not a guarantee. Generally speaking, when we plant those seeds into their heart, generally speaking, they will grow up, but it isn't a guarantee. The second thing about this verse, direct your children onto the right path, is to understand that parents, we are directing our children on a path. Now, you may not have intentionally decided what that path is, but you are directing them on a path. And so we have to recognize what path are we going to direct our children towards? You owe it to your kids to choose ahead of time what direction or what road you are going to direct them towards. There's a famous quote, you probably have heard it and you know it. If you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. Well, the same thing is true with parenting. Okay, so what path? What direction are you pointing your kids towards? We understand as parents that it's complicated and everybody wants to get it right. No one wants to start out and be a failure as a parent. But to do that, to be successful as a parent, we have to determine what path we are going to direct our children towards. Let me ask you this, like, what's the goal for your children? Where's the end zone for your children? What's the target? What's the path that you are directing them towards? Do you know? What is the win? What's the ultimate win in raising our kids? Let me ask you a few questions. Is the ultimate win for your kids to be a great athlete? Now, your response is probably no, but if you look at the culture around us, there are many, that's the ultimate win. And let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with sports. I love sports. Today, after the 11:30 service, my wife and my daughter and I, we're going to drive 2 hours north to Erie because today my son is playing in a championship PSAC game. He plays for Cal U, and he's playing in the championship against Gannon University, and they're going to wax the floor with Gannon, but hopefully. And I want nothing more than my son to succeed on the court. But let me tell you, the dream and my heart's desire for my son is not that he succeed on the court at the sacrifice of succeeding and serving Jesus with all of his heart. That is the ultimate goal and win for us. Is the ultimate goal and win for your children to be successful in business? I want my daughter to be successful. I want her to succeed in all she does, but not at the sacrifice of following Jesus. Is it for your children to make something of themselves? Is it for them to be respectful and a contributor to society? Should we push that for our children and want that for our children? Absolutely. We want them to be respectable. We want them to contribute to society. But is that really, at the end of the day, what the goal and the win is for us as parents? Is it simply for them to have a better life than we did growing up? All of those things can be good. At the end of the day, understanding as ambassadors for God, the sacred duty we have as parents, the sacred utmost responsibility we have is to inspire and equip our children to follow Jesus. That is the win, and that is the goal. All those other things can be great, but they're gravy. At the end of the day, if they're not a great athlete, if they're not a successful business person, if their life isn't better than we think it was when we were kids, but they love Jesus with their whole heart, mom and dad, you've won. That is directing them on the right path. God said that to the people of Israel. In the book of Deuteronomy, God said, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. You must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you are getting up." Our job as parents, as an ambassador for God, is to inspire and to equip our kids to love Jesus with their whole heart. And understand, mom and dad, what happens at home is far more impactful than what happens here at church. The experience that your kids have at home will have a greater impact than their experience here at church. As much as I love our kids' ministry, Krista and Nick and Anna, as much as I love our student ministry staff with Joe and Joel and Amani and all of the leaders that help serve, we could have the greatest staff, the greatest volunteers, the greatest environment and experience here, but it will not be as significant of an impact as your home. And if your kids don't see the impact that Jesus has in your own life, we cannot expect them to follow Jesus. If your faith doesn't make a real difference in your life, you can't expect your kids not to be indifferent about him. What happens at home is far more impactful. Let me give you just a few practical steps, I believe, in how we can help our children, direct them on the right path as God has called us to. First and foremost, we need to emphasize a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Your kids can't live off of your faith. I've learned this as the whole time we've had kids. I've been a pastor and been in full-time ministry. And Caden and Alex can't live off their dad's faith. They can't live off their mom's faith. They grew up going to church. And our prayer for them has always been, God, would you grip their heart in their own way? They have to figure that out. And that journey, even for us, it's not been short and straight. It's gone like this. And they're still figuring it out. But our job as parents is to help them that they come to their own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And part of that means teaching them to seek God's will above their own. Even practically, when your kids are young and they're looking to make decisions as what instrument to play, what activities am I involved in, what sports to play, challenges that they have in their life and doing homework, asking them, have you prayed about it? Too often as parents, and we've been guilty of this, we just immediately give our advice and give our wisdom. What if we were to change that and say, well, I can help you with that, I can speak into that, but have you prayed about it? Why don't we pray together? What does God want? And you're teaching them in those moments to seek God's will above your own. Part of that too is teaching them how to discern God's voice and risk letting them learn when they make mistakes. One of the greatest gifts that we can give our children as parents is the gift of struggle. Meaning when they're disobedient, not just to you, but when they take action or go against God's ways and they feel the consequences of that. So many times we're quick to come in and make it easy and to remove the pain. But part of the learning and developing their own relationship with Jesus is letting them learn and giving them that gift of struggle. And I understand that that means different things at different ages. But they have to have their own personal relationship with Jesus. The second thing we have to teach them is to guard their heart. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Proverbs 4:23, the writer said, above all else, guard your heart. Remember that? The direction of your heart determines the direction of your life. And if that's true, which I believe it is, it's in the Bible, above all things to guard your heart, then if we are going to direct our kids on the right path, we have to teach them and help them to guard their heart. And guarding their heart may be more important than monitoring their behavior. It's not that behavior is not important, it is. But how often do we put our energy and focus on behavior modification and not what's happening in their heart? Above all else, guard your heart. The condition of your heart determines the course of your life. And as our kids make mistakes, and they have and they do, it's easy to focus on the behavior. What are you thinking? Why'd you do that? Maybe the better question is, what in your heart is leading you and causing you to do that? What influences are happening in your heart and in your life that would choose you to go that direction? Help them understand how to guard their heart. And part of that is understanding the influences that are on their heart. I mean, that's our job as parents. And I don't mean that in a legalistic way, but the music, the TV shows, the movies, social media, technology, friends, all of those things. And parents, if I can encourage you more than anything, have a home that is open and safe and welcoming for your children's friends. We had times where our kids were like, hey, can so-and-so come over? And so we actually encouraged them, hey, after the basketball game, would you come here? Like, buy them pizza. Let your home be a place where they're friends so you can get to know them and to see what is influencing them. Guard their heart. Here's the third one. Model the importance of Bible intake and prayer. Model the importance of Bible intake and prayer. Of course, we should encourage and challenge our kids to pray. We should pray with them, to read God's word. But it goes beyond that. Let me ask you, do your kids see you pray? Do they see you read God's word? And I don't mean that in a showy performance kind of a way. They'll see through that. They'll know whether it's fake or phony. But do they know that, Mom, you're a person of prayer? Dad, do they know that you value and you read God's word? Do they hear it come out of you in conversation? Do you value that? Because you can tell them and try to teach them all you want, but if you're not modeling it at home, it's not going to catch. Fourth one is be open about your own faith journey. Be open. Look for opportunities to share how your faith in Jesus shapes the decisions that you make, the actions that you take, and even the reaction to real world events and relationships that are around you. And I don't mean just sharing all the good and successful stories, all the testimonies that you have. Of course, share the good news and celebrate the answered prayers that God delivers. But talk to your kids about the struggle. Say, you know what, I've prayed and God hasn't answered this prayer yet. But teach your kids, how do you wrestle with that? How do you deal with doubt and fear and disappointment? Let your children experience and see your own faith journey. Here's the last one. Pursue relationship. Ultimately, parenting is about influence, right? We have to have influence over our kids. And if you lose relationship, you lose influence. So parent with relationship in mind. Pastor Andy Stanley wrote a great book on parenting called Parenting, Getting It Right. Towards the end of the book, he had a statement that stopped me in my tracks. Let me read it to you. He wrote, "Don't let your faith get in the way of your relationship with your children. Don't let your faith get in the way of the relationship with your children." What does he mean by that? Think of it this way. Jesus never allowed what he believed to separate him from people. Jesus never allowed his personal beliefs to separate him from relationship with people. Think of the story of the woman at the well in Samaria. Samaritans and Galileans didn't agree. His own followers, the disciples, they wanted to go around Samaria. They didn't want him to be at that well. The woman that he encountered believed and lived very differently than Jesus. But Jesus did not allow his beliefs in that moment to separate him relationally from that woman. If we want to have influence with our kids as much as possible for you, don't lose relationship. Think of it this way. What is a better example of the Father's love to our own kids? When your kids choose a path that is different than you would have hoped for, when your kids even choose a path that is different than God would have for them, does it demonstrate the Father's love more when you cut off relationship or when you love them through it and keep that relational drawbridge open? I believe that it demonstrates the Father's love to always lean into relationship. Don't let what you believe stand in the way of relationship with your children. If your child walks away from the faith, it may break your heart, but as far as it depends on you, it should not break the relationship. Our sacred duty as parents is to inspire and to equip our kids to follow and love Jesus with their whole heart. Would you stand to your feet this morning? As we're closing, I want to invite our prayer team, elders that are in the room, pastors here in the room that are on staff, would you just quietly and discreetly come forward? I'm going to pray for us corporately. I'll officially dismiss, but I want to have an open time of prayer. Let me just say a couple things as I close. First and foremost, it's really hard to stand up here and preach on parenting. Tara and I have failed as parents at times. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean we haven't made mistakes. Doesn't mean our kids are perfect. They're not. All of us have regrets, disappointments, anxiety. It's also, in a 30-minute message, it's impossible to touch on every family dynamic. I said at the very beginning, there's so much diversity of family dynamics here. I want to highlight a couple that I believe that God wants to bring healing and restoration to. There's a lot of parents I know in our church, you have broken relationship with your kids, and it's breaking your heart. You've done everything you possibly could. You're leaning in. Your drawbridge isn't up, it's down. For whatever reason, that relationship's not there. I'm sorry. God sees you. He hears your prayers. Let him work. Don't stop praying for your kids. As much as possible within you, lean in. Mom, dad, those of you that are struggling with your kids that have made poor decisions and they're living poor decisions, and you're balancing, am I condoning this behavior by leaning in? It's hard. I don't have all of those answers. A lot of them are gray. I just know that you don't have influence if you don't have relationship. Do your best to discern what God is saying and love them with your whole heart. Dear couple, that you don't have kids and you want kids more than anything, I'm sorry. I can't give you an easy or simple answer why you're not having kids. But I know that God loves you. I believe he wants the best for you. I know he hears your prayers. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on him. Mom, dad, who has lost a child, cannot fathom that pain. God sees you. He loves you. And the short time that you had with your child, he entrusted that child to you. And I believe with all my heart that he wants to heal you. And he wants to use you as a source of healing to others. Let's pray. God, parenting is not easy. There's some in this room that, or the trauma that they experienced as a child because of their relationship with parents is playing an effect on how they're raising kids. I ain't even talked about that. God, would you heal? Would you help us? No mom and dad wants to direct their kids toward the wrong path. We just need your Spirit's help. So God, give us wisdom. Help us to be bold and courageous. Help us to listen better. Give us favor with our kids. I pray that today, favor with our kids. I pray that even today, this weekend, there'd be some phone calls and texts that weren't expecting from kids. Lord, maybe you want to stir in a parent's heart. They haven't talked to their child in a long time. That today, this message, they're here, and you want them to reach out. Help them to be obedient and spirit leading. I pray for that mom and dad who want to have children more than anything. Lord, you created us. You could speak it and it would happen. That's what we would love. And I pray that. I pray that you would do a miracle. But God, if you don't, I pray that we would trust you even when we don't understand. Be over our kids today. It's a hard world. Help us as a church to inspire and to equip kids to love you better. In the name of Jesus, amen. Come forward if you'd like us to pray for you. Otherwise, God bless you. You're dismissed.